It's okay that it feels so big because it is big. It will get better. It does get better. You know, you're not stuck how you feel. You're not broken. I think that's a big thing that you feel afterwards. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. This isn't karma or justice for anything you did wrong. You didn't deserve this. You didn't earn this. And it's never gonna be 100% the way it was before. And that's not fun, but it takes a lot of pressure off of you when you're healing to know like you're not trying to get back to the person you were before. And that's okay.
Hey guys, my name is Shayla. Welcome to the Hey Shayla podcast. I went from full-time travel to full-time new COVID mom, and now I'm a mom of two. And holy wow, is motherhood and adulting a learning curve? There are so many decisions we need to make and a million ways to do it right. I created this podcast to interview some of my gurus to share their knowledge and empower you on your journey. Let me be your guinea pig and ask the question you think everyone else knows. Here, we're a little hippie. We try to do things as naturally as possible. We're open-minded and we don't take ourselves too seriously. But above all, we support one another and work to find what works. If you're into it, you're our people. Let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to the Hey Shayla podcast. Today I'm interviewing Hannah about her first son, Joseph, who was born asleep or was stillborn. I am putting this little blurb in the beginning because Hannah asked me to. Her second son, Amos, is due when this podcast airs, and he's already here. He's beautiful and fantastic, and she wanted me to put this in here to give anybody who's experiencing this a little bit of hope. And I wanted to record this episode with Hannah because A, she was willing and eager to share her experience and resources with somebody who is experiencing this or has experienced this, or with somebody who just wants to know the options about what happens when you do experience this. It was a pretty tough episode to record, but Hannah was super informative and I'm very grateful for her. I hope that this is comforting to those who need comfort and that it's informative to those who need the information. So thank you for listening and let's get into the podcast. Hannah is a wife and a sixth grade math teacher here in Minnesota. In 2021, her and her husband got pregnant and lost their first child, Joseph. The stillbirth of their son was a life-changing event. Hannah reached out to me on Instagram in 2021 and I wanted to read this first message that you sent to me. So it says, "Hey, Shayla, I watched your videos all the time in my pregnancy and loved all of them. I don't know you, so reaching out feels a little weird. Last month, my pregnancy ended in the stillbirth of my first child. It was sudden, unexpected, and awful. Through the whole process, I could barely think, let alone make decisions like, do you want pictures or do you have an outfit for him or what funeral home should we call? I'm going to cry reading this. So this whole podcast, since his birth, I've learned a lot about the process and a lot of the resources out there. If you're interested, I'd love to share this information and make these resources more public. Now, over a year after Joseph's birth, she's in the third trimester of her second pregnancy. Okay, Hannah, thank you so much for coming on and just wanting to be a resource for somebody going through this or a resource for somebody supporting them going through this. I also like to start with just saying if anybody wants or needs to reach out to you, they can do it on Instagram. It's Instagram. Your handle is Hannah Eyl, Hannah.EYL.
EYL. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for offering to do this because it is such an emotional thing to experience, I would imagine, and then to now talk about as like to try and help someone else, I just think is a really noble thing. So I really appreciate you reaching out to me and wanting to do this.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I've learned most throughout this whole process is how like surprisingly common it is. Not to say that this happens a ton, but you know, before I went through this situation, it wasn't even on my radar that it was a possibility that my pregnancy could end that way.
Right.
And since going through this process, it's kind of, I mean, not a good thing, but people come out and they're like, this happened to my brother or this happened to my neighbor. Right. And it just, you start to hear all of these stories that you've, you know, never heard before and didn't even know it was a possibility. And so it's a very isolating thing, but at the same time, it's like, oh, you're not the only one going through it.
Totally. And that, I think, was part of the hesitation I had with doing this with you, because I was like, I don't want to scare people. I don't want people like, who's going to want to listen to this sad story? Like, especially if they're pregnant, and like, no one's going to listen to this in preparation for something that could happen.
Because you're not going to know it's coming.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, but then I was like, but on the flip side, I like being a resource for somebody who's been through it and needs a little bit of guidance, a little bit of community, a little bit of just solidarity or unity. I don't know what the right word is, but just like being that resource for somebody, then I was like, okay, if you're open to this, I would love to talk to you and like learn the things that you have to share, essentially. So let's start with your story.
Yeah. So it, Zach and Zach's my husband, we wanted to start a family. We got pregnant pretty quick right away. And it was like kind of a fairy tale. Honestly, it was going great. I was super excited. I was due in February. So I do think that this is kind of important to mention, because I know a lot of people who have stillborns that are, one of the things that has been hard for me going through this process is anytime someone tries to be like, oh, I know what you went through because I went through this thing. I'm like, no, that's totally different. I had my stillborn at 28 weeks. So I was not full term. I was right at the end of the second trimester. And so I was due in February and I gave birth in November. And it was that whole week leading up to it. It started with my baby shower beforehand, which I had planned to have it kind of early because of the holidays and all of that. I didn't want to be in the way of anyone else's stuff. And then, you know, it went to a few days after that, realizing that I hadn't felt him move in a while. And then going in, not being able to find the heartbeat. Okay. He's gone. You have to get induced. That whole process. So yeah.
So they had to induce you. So you had to go through labor.
Yep.
And have them. What did anything come back saying what had happened?
No. And it's one of those things that I think most people usually don't end up finding out. There's a lot of factors that go into it. It was not one of those situations that was super
clear.
Dramatic or clear, or I didn't fall. I wasn't in a car accident. His cord wasn't in a knot.
That's the story that I've heard before, is like, oh, his cord was knotted or something like that, or pinched or. Okay. So you realized that you hadn't felt any kicks. You went into the doctor. They tried to find a heartbeat. Then did you do an ultrasound?
Yep. They brought in an ultrasound machine next. And that day was the worst one for sure. Being like, you know, you're supposed to be clear once you get out of the first trimester.
Totally. So yeah.
You totally are like, what do you even talk? I think there was a lot of, this is another thing I wanted to mention. If you feel like something is wrong, and this wasn't mentioned to me at all because I had just a totally healthy pregnancy up to that point. But if you think that something is wrong or not right, you do not have to wait for your clinic to be open. You can call labor and delivery even if you are not in labor.
Oh, really?
Like, you can call them at any point. They will talk to the doctor on call. They will figure out what's going on. And I totally wish I had done that, you know, because there I was thinking something's wrong. And I'm like, oh, the clinic's not open. I guess I just have to wait.
Oh, my gosh.
And you don't. You absolutely do not. Call the nurse. What's the worst that can happen? She says, wait till the clinic's open. Then you're in the same spot. You know, like, they will talk to the doctor, they will tell you to come in. They can do an NST on you.
Which is what?
A non-stress test. So they'll put you on a monitor and watch the fetal heart rate for like 20 minutes.
Okay.
To see if it's like going up, indicating activity and things like that.
Yeah. So then you had to, how long after were you induced?
I went in the next morning. I did not want to stay pregnant.
No, right.
Once I knew that he was gone. So
yeah. And then, I mean, you just went into labor and delivery and they just started inducing you and you like had to wait for the contractions to start and everything, or, and then just give birth.
Yep.
then what is the process once he's born?
So this is something that I think has changed a lot over the years as like doctors have learned more. Back in the day, I think they used to just take the baby away and you never got to see him. That is not what they do anymore. You get as much time with your child as you want, which was fantastic. So we stayed, he was delivered at 10:44 PM and we stayed with him up through like the afternoon the next day. So we got that whole night and that day with him. And they'll do things to like, it's still not the same, obviously. So like you have to keep them like wrapped up on ice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But really you have the freedom to take as much or as little time as you want, which is, I think, really helpful.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have gone for me if I would have never gotten to see him.
Right. Yeah. I think that would be, I mean, super challenging, but I wonder if different people would prefer different things.
Yeah. Well, and it's really kind of a choose your own adventure. Like they're very open to every, well, I had a phenomenal nurse team. I actually wrote that down. I have like a little organizer of things that were like helpful and stuff during this time. When I went in for my induction, the night nurse, cause I got there before shift change, she sat me down and she asked me what his name was. That was the first thing she asked me. I was like, his name is Joseph. And she must've written on my file, cause every single nurse for the entire time just referred to him by his name, which was phenomenal. Like
I'm crying.
He was a person to me, like he's my son.
Absolutely.
So the nurses were fantastic. The day nurse I had actually had a stillborn herself.
Oh, wow.
So she was like kind of like a mom hen to me.
No kidding. Yeah. What an
gave me a lot of really great advice.
Yeah. Stop. Are you crying?
No, I'm getting definitely a little emotional.
So. Yeah. I think that you had written me that one of your nurses had also had a stillbirth and kind of walked you through that. And I feel like that had to have been such a blessing just to have somebody who was like, yes, I know like what you're going through.
But there's so many things that they would ask me and I'd be like, I don't know. Like,
right.
I don't know what I want. Like, I don't even want to be here. So
yeah, exactly. I've never thought about this.
Exactly. And that was really great to have someone there to really put things in perspective. Like one of the things that I had been asked was, do you want pictures?
Mm-hmm.
There's a really great charity called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep that will come in and do pictures for stillborns, like a little newborn shot, and they'll send them to you for free.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, fantastic charity. And my mom had asked me that, like the nurses had asked me that when I got there. And I was like, I don't know. Truly like, felt like a lot of baggage to like have to take something like that home. But at the same, I had no idea.
Right.
And what she told me, her name was Deb. She was fantastic.
Deb the angel.
She told me, you know, you can never go back and take pictures you never took. You can delete the email, never look at them if you decide you don't want them.
Right.
But you can never go back in time and take something you never took. And so that was... I'm so happy I have those photos. Like I have all of his, I kept everything that I possibly could and I keep it all together. And I'm so happy that we got those photos taken.
Yeah. I think that's really good advice too, because I also like, do you want photos? I don't know. Do I want photos? And to have somebody be like, no, I think that's really good advice of just like, you can always get rid of them, but you can't go back and take them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have a good friend who also wasn't a stillbirth, but she had pictures taken as well. The baby passed away shortly after she was born. Yeah. And I think she cherishes those photos. I think that they're like, I mean, cause you only get to be with them for such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. So then to have those photos to have and look back on, I think is really something that's special. But again, you wouldn't know the answer to at the time when you're like going through this and like grieving at the same time that you're trying to make these decisions. And
well, yeah, and they're like inducing you and then asking you what you want, and there's like so many things going on at the same time that you're not really processing any of it. So
totally.
Yeah, anything that you can save or keep, there's a big feeling when you get home of like emptiness, of like like it was all for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that you have for those memories that to remind you, like, it was not for nothing. This human being was beautiful and perfect and mattered. Like, mm-hmm. anything you can do to keep it, to remind you that he is real.
Yeah. Existed.
It's good. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And then they also asked you about things to wear at 28 weeks. I feel like
I had nothing that I had brought with me. So that's hospitals are really good at having stuff. So they did have an outfit for him.
Oh.
And that was really good. They also gave me this little bear. And they gave me a hat. This is, you know, and I kept all of it, and great memories. And it's actually something that, you know, I've done and my mom has done post going through this situation, is crocheted blankets and donated them to the hospital for other people who go through this.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you received one?
I had like a knitted hat, and my mom had made me a blanket that I brought with. And
yeah. Oh, I love them. So when you messaged me, you said they were asking like which funeral home to call.
Yeah. Did which you... was one of those things I was like not prepared for at all.
Yeah. So then what did that look like? So after you had your time with him, then.
Yeah. So that's something where that you can't take him home. That's not an option that you're given, which I understand. So I knew of a funeral home in the area from my great grandmother's passing like 5 or 6 years before this.
Right.
And so I was just like, it was one of those things where like, what funeral home do you want us to call? I'm like, I don't know. I guess this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is the one I know of. And so they came and they actually sent someone to come pick him up personally, which was really nice, because like I did not want to leave him there by himself.
Yeah.
And like obviously, and so I gave him over to the funeral home guy, and he took him, and that was not fun.
The hardest. I can't even.
Yeah. Imagine. But that was better than leaving him there. Like I couldn't leave him there. And they give you, you know, all the same choices after that as if you would have lost a husband, a mom, a dad, anything like that. So you can do, you know, cremation or whatever you want to do. We cremated him was our.
Yeah. And then did you have a funeral?
I didn't. And that's everyone's choice on that one is going to be different for sure. Yeah. I was not really wanting to. Who would I have invited? It just felt weird.
I feel the same way. Yeah. So then do you have like an urn, or did you put him in a place like a cemetery?
We still have him like in an urn in the house. Yeah. That is something that my husband and I have never really agreed on what we wanted to do. And so it kind of was like, all right, I guess we'll just keep him for the time being. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that you don't think of ahead of time.
Yeah. Totally.
One of the many things. And in the end, it's
personal choice.
It's personal choice. You know, Zach felt more comfortable having him close. I kind of was like, oh, it'd be nice if we put him somewhere. But and we live in a townhome too. So it's not like we could have, you know, planted a tree in our backyard.
Right.
I would have loved to do that.
Right. But maybe someday you will.
That choice.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So you mentioned the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. Are there other organizations or resources that you would recommend that is Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep a nationwide thing, or is it just Minnesota?
I think it's nationwide.
Okay.
I'm not sure. They might work with like specific hospitals and stuff. I'm not entirely sure, but if you go onto their website, you would be able to.
Right. And I feel like the hospital typically has a photographer on.
Yeah.
Regardless. I mean, you might have to pay for it, but I don't know. I feel like that would be something hospital specific.
Yeah.
That, again, you wouldn't probably look into until you needed to.
Yeah. But
okay.
The other resources they hooked me up with, Star Legacy Foundation, which I know is out of Minnesota. Okay. I don't know what other states they operate in, but they are, they run support groups. And another thing you can do, even if they don't have support groups that operate in your state, a lot of these websites have like blog posts that other women have written about their experience. So even if you can't like join one of their support groups, you can go on and read other women's stories of what they've been through. And that was something that was super comforting to me right off the beginning, is it is such an isolating experience. So any story you can read that is like, you're not alone in this, totally, can be really helpful.
Well, and I think, kind of like what you said with, you go home and you just feel very empty.
Yeah.
I think that's on like, that's multi-layered, like physically. Yeah. You are empty, right? And you don't have a baby with you. Mm-hmm. And energetically as well, like your body, I don't know. I learned about this with the matrescence lady. She was talking about like how your body is like, was full of like warmth and vibrancy and whatever. And then once you give birth to the baby, your body, independent of the baby, is like, now a colder, spacious, empty vessel, essentially. So like energetically it is, and just, and then what about telling people?
Yeah. So that was not enjoyable.
No.
Cause I had just had my baby shower. Mm-hmm. And so it was something that was like, my pregnancy was very public. And so I kind of felt like I didn't want to have conversations with anybody.
Nobody. Yeah.
So what we ended up doing is we ended up posting something on social media, which I would have rather not done for sure. And like been just dealing with it on my own.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was rocking a hard place.
Yeah.
Right. It's either my loss has to be really public, or every time I run into someone for the next 6 months, they're going to ask me how my child is. Uh-huh. Like,
yeah,
how'd the pregnancy go, did you have your baby, like,
totally.
Yeah, I did. So it was kind of like I felt like I had to pick one. Mm-hmm. And so I picked, I guess I'll just make my loss very public. And there are pros and cons to that for sure. But this time around in this pregnancy, I've been a lot more private. Like, I haven't posted anything about even being pregnant.
Yeah.
And so it'll be really fun when I give birth and mm-hmm. I get to post something and everyone gets to be like, oh my gosh, you were pregnant. And I was like,
yeah,
yes, I was.
Totally. And just not be public about it.
Yeah.
In retrospect, are you glad that you posted versus, cause I feel like by posting, you also didn't have to have a bunch of individual conversations with people.
Yeah. Which is the reason why I did it. And I am happy that I did it that way. I think it would have been a lot harder for me to have someone face to face with me and have to talk about what had happened, because I didn't really want to talk about it at first.
Yeah. I am not comparing my miscarriage to this at all, but like when I had my miscarriage, I went through a similar thing where I had to be like, hey, not pregnant anymore. And I literally just copy and pasted a message that was like, hey, we found out that like the baby stopped growing. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that was like the message that I sent.
Oh,
and I was just, yeah.
For almost word for word, what my post was just like, this is his name. This is when he was born. I don't want to talk about it.
Please don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want to hear everybody being like, oh, I'm so sorry. You're like, I'm already dealing with this. I don't want to have to then make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
And what's hard about it, the whole situation like this too, is like, I don't want to be treated any differently, but then I also kind of sometimes want to be treated differently. You know, like I don't, it would happen sometimes when you're at work and someone's complaining about like the cost of childcare. And you're like, I don't want to hear that complaint. I really don't.
Yeah.
So you want to be treated differently, but you don't. And it's, I don't know.
And it's so hard, I feel like, to manage, because everybody individually wants to be treated differently. So the advice, because I'm going to ask you, like, was there anything that people said that was helpful or hurtful or whatever? But like, your advice might not be the same thing that I would say, might not be the same thing that someone else would say. So maybe you can talk about the best way to manage that too, if you have any insight.
I have.
Yeah.
The only insight I have on that is I've kind of created a standard for myself that if I'm not willing to like say something in that social situation, then it's not worth me being upset about. Because what would happen was someone would say something that hurt my feelings and I would just like internalize it and be like upset for 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. And that's not an option anymore. I'm either going to like stand up for myself and be like, that was kind of uncomfy, or like turn it into a joke, or just find a way to like
verbalize that
like that's not how I feel.
Yeah.
Or if I'm going to let it go, I need to actually let it go and not let it affect me. So in the end, you know, nobody can read your mind. So you have to find a way to manage those situations on your own. And that's a really tall order. And I'm still not super great at that.
We're also Minnesotans, so we're very passive.
Very passive.
Not great at being like, yeah, that wasn't cool. What can you give me an example of something you would say to somebody if you were going to speak up?
So like the first example that comes to my head, I had a coworker. I was talking about how with this pregnancy, they're planning on inducing me. I'm a high risk pregnancy now. So I was talking about getting induced. And so I said something like, oh, I'm not going all the way to 40 weeks. And he said something about like, oh, you have to, you know, it's your first pregnancy. You're supposed to go over and be miserable. And I was like, I already have a miserable first pregnancy story, so I'm actually good. And I kind of like made it a joke, and it was like not a big deal, but that was an example of a time that I actually was like, this is not my first pregnancy.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend like it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I also, if someone asks me if this is my first, I don't say yes. I don't pretend that this is my first time going through this. Sometimes I'll say kind of, sometimes I'll be more open depending on how I'm feeling and say, no, my first was a stillborn. It depends on how I'm feeling, but that I think opens the door more to people being more understanding. Like I can't mm-hmm. expect someone to be understanding if they don't know that I have that history.
Right. Yeah. But also it opens a conversation that you might not want to have at the supermarket. Like, oh, is that your first? Yeah. Like, yep, it is. Bye. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
And I have done that before. I've been like getting my hair cut and been like, oh yeah. Do you have any kids? No, I don't. I guess. You know, it depends on how you feel.
Right. And the context, I feel like, in the situation. And yeah, I think just honoring what you want to do and how you want to talk about. But
I think a big tip for that is just like kind of have a decision for yourself made ahead of time. Because like if you're dealing with, and your answers are going to change depending on where in the healing process you are, and that's totally fine. But having like made that deal with myself that I'm not comfortable pretending that Joseph doesn't exist. So when I go into the situation, I will say, I will never say that this is my first pregnancy. And
right.
having that decision made ahead of time makes those social situations a lot easier to manage.
Yeah. And just
this
sort of
is
a
what
little,
I'm comfortable with.
Totally. Yeah. And I don't really care if you're comfortable with me saying this or not, but I'm going to honor this life.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are going to take a brief break to talk about Clearly Filtered. Clearly Filtered is a water filtration system that goes under your sink. There's a pitcher. They have water bottles. They have kids' water bottles. I fill this pitcher up multiple times a day. I do it for my rice. I do it for the water I drink. I do it for coffee. I do it for the diffuser. All the things go through this filtration system. They have something on their website where you can type in your zip code and it will tell you all the things that are in your water. And that's enough right there to get you to buy one. If you are interested, I have a code, Hey Shayla, or you can go to heyshayla.com/clearlyfilteredpod. If any of my codes ever don't work, go to heyshayla.com/codes and it will give you the list of all the current codes. Let's get back to the show. So were there anything that people, okay, so if somebody's trying to support somebody else going through this,
yes.
Do you have any advice or recommendations for like things they should or should not say or do or?
Yeah. And it's super hard because it's going to be different for everyone. So I can talk about what has been really positive in my life. people who brought meals right off the bat was fantastic. I was not in the headspace to like make sure my husband had lunch or that I had lunch or like anyone, you know, like, and I also got like a horrible epidural headache. And so I was like, not only not in the space, but I felt like terrible and everything was a mess. I have always loved it when people use his name. And I think, you know, the nurses started that from the very beginning, and that was something that was fantastic. I have some really great friends who have gone out of their way to tell me when they like all remembered his birthday, which was fantastic. I had some friends that brought me flowers on his due date. So the just feeling remembered and loved and cared about, those were little things, especially because, you know, because he wasn't a full term baby, by the time his due date came around, there was a lot of feeling like other people had forgotten, you know, and moved on.
Right.
And so feeling remembered, feeling like somebody still cared and saw that I was still going through it was really great.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times with loss, people are there for like the first 2 weeks and then they all just drop off. And with something like this, where you also have a due date, that's a very significant date for somebody to remember and to even send a text or, like you said, the flowers or a meal or whatever. Like, I feel like that's, I love that.
Yeah. And then I had another friend that sent me pretty early on. She sent me this devotional, Grieving the Child I Never Knew, which was phenomenal. My husband and I went through this like the first month or so, and we did it together. So like we would read the devotional and the prayer together, and then we would go through the questions and like talk through the questions together.
Oh, wow.
Which was fantastic, because like as much as this is isolating from all the other people, like you can't be isolated from your spouse, or you're never gonna make it through if you're like totally on your own. And so like Zach and I going through this book was probably the best thing, especially because you have such a huge deep feelings that don't have words to them. And I bookmarked one. This was one of the devotionals that was about nothing to show for my loss and the feeling of emptiness when you get home. And one of the questions was, some women who have lost children say that aching arms is a common occurrence and that holding something eases the pain. What could you hold? And so we were reading this, and here I am like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy, because this bear that they had given to me at the hospital, I had been like sleeping with it like a crazy person and feeling like I was nuts. And so just having words that all these big feelings I was feeling were
validated.
Normal, was fantastic.
Yeah. I love that. It's called
The Child I Never Knew.
Okay. I'm going to put that in the show notes so that people can do it. If they're not religious, do you still think it would be helpful?
Probably not. It's a very religious.
Is
it's
it?
A devotional. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I still almost feel like the questions potentially, whatever. Yeah. We'll let people decide if they want to get it or not. But I think that I love that, because then you get to kind of get your husband in on it. I feel like with things like this, there's so much focus on mom, rightfully so, but dad also just lost their firstborn child. You know what I mean? Or their second or whatever, their child. They just lost their child. And I think, do you agree with that? Like miscarriage, nobody checked in on Seth. Nobody asked him anything. They were all asking me things and sending me things and whatever. And he was kind of like, I support that you are getting the support, but like, this is pretty hard on me too.
Yeah. And it's, I know that a lot of people have a hard time too with just dealing with different ways of healing. Sometimes, you know, if one spouse doesn't want to talk about it and the other one does, or, one thing I was reading a lot because I read a lot of blog posts and stuff from other women who had gone through similar situations. One common thing that I would see a lot is like, oh, my husband looks like he isn't going through it, and I feel so alone. And it's like, you know, sometimes they just express it differently. I don't know. My big thing was I had a really hard time dealing with him when he got emotional, because I always felt like, excuse me, like I'm going through this. Mm-hmm. I need you to be my rock because mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time. So the few times that like he really needed to cry and he needed to be the one who was upset, and I had to like pack how I felt away for a little bit and support him was mm-hmm. really difficult for me. And so, yeah.
That's good insight too, though, because I can imagine that that's a thing where you're like, yeah, can we just heal me first? Like,
yeah, this, like, can yeah. we do this one at a time, please? But yeah, that's not how it works. You know, like he's just as much of a human as I am.
Right. And just as much lost yeah. their child. I think that that devotional would be so helpful then, because then you both can like talk about mm-hmm. your feelings with each other and like talk about everything that's going on.
Well, and especially because like he can't read my mind either. Mm-hmm. So like anything that could get me talking, him talking, so we knew where the other person was.
Yeah.
And that allowed him to be a more caring and loving husband towards me. And that allowed me to be able to recognize and validate how he was feeling, because if there was no space for that, I would not have done that. I would have been too concerned about how I was feeling.
Yeah. What was I just going to ask you? Did you get any sort of maternity leave or any sort of leave?
This is something that like everyone, I'm sure it does differently. I went back to work as soon as I could because I just needed the distraction. I didn't like being home and kind of wallowing in it. So I went back to work after 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I went back to work really quick. And that first day was terrible because you have to face all these people who, you know, saw that I was pregnant 2 weeks ago and then can now clearly see that I'm not. And they know what happened. Like,
yeah,
there was no way around that. And because I'm a teacher, I also had to face, you know, 120 students, which they had my principal and the school counselor met with the whole sixth grade and was like, okay, this happened to Miss Isle. And this is, you know, really sad. And she's not going to want to talk about it when she comes back. So,
oh, man,
you know, that kind of thing. So some of them like left me little cards, but for the most part, they didn't ask me any questions, which was good.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't ready for that yet.
No. Yeah. But I love that you shared that you went back. Like, I think, yeah, just to have the distraction. And again, I think that that would be totally, everybody would be different in that. But when you said making sure that your husband has lunches or that you have lunches, I was like, lunches to
go back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have the option from your
I could have stayed out. Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody was pressuring me to go back at all. I wanted to go back.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Cause I wonder what like maternity leave looks
you
like.
You get your whole maternity leave if you want it. You are entitled to your whole maternity leave. If you have short-term disability your maternity leave, you're entitled to get that. Yeah. You have full access. You gave birth. You physically gave birth in a hospital with your body.
Right.
You get everything. You're entitled to all that same stuff.
Yes. Did you have a situation where your milk came in?
I did not, which I was very grateful for. It was kind of because I was 28 weeks. They were kind of like, we're not sure.
Yeah.
It could go either way at this point.
Yeah.
So it did not. And I was very grateful for that.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything going back to like how to support somebody who is going through this? You said like sending things on the due date. Is there anything else that you have for that or hurtful things that anybody said?
I think that covered most of them. Okay. A big thing for me was figuring out how to be around people who, you know, other pregnant women and stuff.
Oof.
Afterwards.
Yeah. 'Cause,
you know, I had coworkers who were pregnant and having babies too. And, you know, I had friends who got pregnant after I went through this and I was, you know, trying to get pregnant and, you know, going through all of these feelings, and it's really difficult.
Yeah.
And that's, it's okay. Like, it gets better with time. It really does. And you'll learn how to handle things with grace and with poise.
With time.
With time.
Yeah. Adding to that, I have a friend who said that with loss of a baby,
yeah,
or like during pregnancy or shortly after, people say things like, oh, aren't you glad it happened when it did? Or everything happens for a reason, or at least it's this, or at least it's that. And they're like things that you would never say to somebody about, like, if their husband died, or if their grandma died, or if their whatever died. You'd never be like, well, everything happens for a reason. And they're like, mm-hmm. So kind of think about that when you're saying these things, because it is a human life lost. And so it's not just like, well, at least blah, blah, blah. Like, and she's, that was something that kind of stuck with me of just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Anything you can do to treat the child like a person.
Right.
You know, and that's why I'm so big on when people use his name.
Yeah.
Because he was a person. And yeah. So, yeah, that would be, it would be horrible if someone was like, oh, at least you weren't full term. And it's like, okay. So
yeah.
What? Like,
yeah. I also have a few resources that I wanted to share. One is called Molly Bears. And this is a resource where they will take a stuffed animal like what you have, but they will put weights in it to weigh what your child weighed when they were born.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. And so you can, I think it's a nonprofit thing, but that was one that I've seen a good friend of mine who did that. And it's like in all of their family photos, it's everywhere. And it's just the same thing. It's just a comfort thing for them. And then the other one that she recommended, because I reached out to her before this to be like, do you have any resources to add? She said babyangelpics.com. So what they do is they will take your photos of your baby after they're born, and then they will change the pigment to make it look like a live birth so that you can see like what your baby had with different pigment or something like that. And she said that her friend had done that, and that same thing, cherishes the photos. And again, it's up to you if that's something that's helpful or not to you, mm-hmm. but I just wanted to mention those resources as well if anybody is interested in those things. Okay, so now, how's your pregnancy been? How has it been being pregnant again?
Yeah, well, it's certainly been like day by day. I'm 33 weeks along now, so I am farther along than I was last time. I call him my high score baby.
Him, is it another he? Another boy?
It's another he, yes. Ugh. Which I wanted a boy, so I was very happy for.
Yeah.
Not that I really cared, but
of course. It's always a thing. Like, yes. You're like, oh, above all, I just want a happy little healthy babe.
Yep. So I have my high score baby. It's really depending on the day. I think when you go through this, like, try not to have expectations on yourself. Because I always had this expectation that when I got to this next milestone in pregnancy, I would feel better, right? Like, if I get out, I see the heartbeat, I'll feel better. And then you don't. Or when I get out of the first trimester, I'll feel better. And I didn't. And when I feel him start moving, I'll feel better. And then I didn't, because I would just get in my head, like, I would be sitting there and I would think about him and be like, well, he's not moving right now. And then just like, that's all I could think about for the next 20 minutes until I felt him move again. You know, just, you know, it's been day by day for sure. Some days are better than others. I've been very happy to keep it off social media, because those times where I've seen friends and told them that I was pregnant and they've been so happy, those moments of joy have been few and far between. It's been a lot more worry and anxiety in this pregnancy. So being able to cherish those moments of joy of someone like being just truly happy
that you're pregnant.
Or like truly like being able to share those moments instead of someone saw it on Facebook and they already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you meant that they were not happy, but I'm glad.
Oh, they've all been happy. And I'm so happy that those moments of joy got to happen in my presence instead of they just saw it on social media.
Yeah.
You know, anything to like have those moments of joy. There are some boundaries that I've set for myself that I'm like keeping. Like, I don't want to have a baby shower. I feel like a little jinxy with that. So yeah. I don't want to go to any, I don't want to have one. Yeah.
That's a good boundary.
Yeah, I don't want to go to any. I just don't want to be jinxed.
Yeah, totally. Did you go through any therapy?
I didn't. I thought I should have. Because no, it was it was a long few months. I think it would have been really good to talk. Well, I talked to my husband constantly.
Right.
But it would have been good to talk to someone who could have at least assured me that, like, I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm honestly impressed because I feel like all of these boundaries I was assuming were coming from a therapist.
I set these all myself. By yourself.
Yeah. That's incredible. I think that's amazing. Okay. So that I'm like, you were hesitant to share. So you like it when people are excited and say congratulations? And did you have to wait a little while before you could try and get pregnant again? Did they recommend anything like that?
They did. They did ask me to wait, and then I proceeded not to wait. Okay. And I didn't, I didn't get pregnant right away. And so I should have waited, right? I had this thing going on where this is going to be different for every couple. I instantly wanted to be pregnant again. Like they were like laying me down, explaining how the induction was going to go. And they're like, do you have any questions? And I was like, when can I try again? Like I just wanted to be pregnant again. And I think it was a coping mechanism of just like, I could pretend it didn't happen. And it was just like a really long pregnancy.
Yeah.
And put me in the Guinness Book of World Records or whatever. if I could just get pregnant again. And so when I didn't, that was insanely hard to deal with because I did get pregnant the first time so easily. And I should have listened to my doctors and given myself a couple months for my body to heal and for my mind to heal, for a second pregnancy to not be a coping mechanism to deal with the loss of Joseph. And so I'm grateful it took as long as it did now that I'm out of that situation. But I put myself through a lot of unnecessary, like, roller coaster emotions of trying to get pregnant while trying to heal. And I would not recommend doing that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. And I feel like sometimes there's a little bit of a divine intervention there too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yep. Which I was not happy for at the time.
Yeah, right.
That's not what I'm asking for, God. And he's like, just trust me. It's okay.
Good. I'm glad that it worked out the way that you think it should have as far as the second pregnancy. Is there anything else? I guess, what would you say to somebody who either just found out that, like, they're in the night before the induction, or they just had their baby and it was stillborn? What would you say to a mama like that?
I don't think I would say anything to them. I think I would just go be with them.
Okay.
I think there's not a right thing to say in those situations a lot of times.
Yeah.
And just helping them not feel alone, just be with them.
Yeah. I love that answer. I also want to re-ask the question for you from advice, having been through it. Is there anything that you would say to somebody who's listening?
Yeah. Jeez.
And it still can be nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't.
It's okay that it feels so big, because it is big. It's also like it will get better. It does get better. You know, you're not stuck how you feel. You're not broken. I think that's a big thing that you feel afterwards. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. This isn't karma or justice for anything you did wrong. You didn't deserve this. You didn't earn this. And it's never going to be 100% the way it was before. And that's not fun, but it takes a lot of pressure off of you when you're healing to know, like, you're not trying to get back to the person you were before. And that's okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'm crying. Oh, man. Well, thank you for coming on and chatting with me about this. Again, I really appreciate your openness and your just desire to help other couples, women, family going through something like this.
I hope it was good. I hope I was, you know, articulate and clear and all that.
There's no good or bad. You're sharing your story and you're trying to give some help. And I think that that is good. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please share with somebody you think would love. And I would be so honored if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment and rating below so I can know what you guys are digging, what you want more of, just connect with you a little better. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.